You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura. It is great to hear your voice. You and I are both now in Southern California.
Woo-woo.
And I am here to tell you this is a beautiful Friday afternoon in Orange County, California.
I know. It's pretty easy to adjust to the weather, isn't it? It's really nice.
Yeah. Mid-70s and sunny does not get old.
No, totally. Are you going to be doing any gardening this weekend?
Oh, well, a little bit. You know, our patio is pretty much torn up because of we're getting some stuff on it redone. So we're mainly just trying to keep the stuff out there alive so that it'll do okay. But yeah, we're doing fine.
Well, good. Yeah, keeping it alive. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Dad, okay, today we have a special guest. I'm pretty sure I last met or saw this special guest when I was 11 and a half and he helped us move across the country. So it's going to be fun to get to catch up. Can you introduce our guest?
You bet. I certainly can. Today we have with us a dear man and friend to me, and that is Gordon Blocker. Gordon and I have been friends for decades, and he is certainly one of those men that I would say because of him, I am a better man and a better Christian because of his influence in my life. And so, Gordon, we are so glad to have you with us today. And listeners, actually, he's not just with us. He has kind of overtaken the podcast.
Oh, man.
And is going to be leading us, interviewing me and us in our discussion. So, Gordon, let me turn it to you. And if you'd just tell a little bit about who you are and then get us started.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, it's funny because when I was I'm really a listener is what I am. And I have been listening to the podcast while going for long jogs. And I thought, I don't want to be a guest. I want to be I want to interview you. I want to ask questions because I think during some of the podcasts while you guys were talking, I start talking to you and I realize you couldn't hear me. So I just wanted to jump
That's
in,
awesome.
Which John knows I'm not shy or bashful. But it's just taken us a while to get this scheduled. Anyway, yeah, a little bit about me. You know, when you asked me, what's our story? Not knowing who's listening to this, but try to track back to 1991, I guess. And I was a student at TCU and I was leading this campus ministry. And it was all I could do to find a weekly speaker for that ministry. And a guy named Darren Unruh. Darren, if you're listening, mm-hmm. We were sitting there in your living room in Kansas City. And I was like, Darren, do you have anybody I can have come to my weekly thing? And he said, you got to get John Hawkins, but the requirement is you have to be a leader. If you call John, you have to be a leader. And I thought, oh shoot, I'm not sure I fit the criteria for him to mentor me or even come to my thing. But that's how we met. And you just came and spoke that night, and then we talked. And then I think, like a lot of things, I had no idea what your role would be in my life. That we would become friends. I feel like our friendship has transformed like five times in the last 30 years, over and over, as God has done to me. In terms of just my testimony and story, I'm the son of Truman Blocker, who's from Galveston, Texas. And my mother, Catherine, is from Greenville, South Carolina. And I tell my testimony probably differently every time someone asks me, but the first thing that came to mind, honestly, when you asked me today was a passage from 2 Timothy. And it says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And the only reason I bring that up is because as I look back on my life, I see God at work in so many ways, and I think I've come to more and more appreciate how he's been at work in my life the whole time.
Yes.
And my mom tells me stories about going to 7 a.m. Mass with her dad in Greenville, South Carolina. I've actually been to the church. I've been to the place where he's buried. I've been to the place where my mom and dad were married, and my grandfather Gordon was my godfather and there at my baptism when I was about 9 months old. So
man,
bottom line is I see God's hand in my life the whole time. I think when I met you, John, I was working a lot of things out in terms of it being a sincere faith for sure. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, lots to tell there, but that's maybe for two more podcasts. So anyway, tell me if I'm missing anything, but what I really wanted to do, I think when I was listening,
well
I got to say,
Gordon,
this first. Yeah, go ahead.
Before you just tell just a bit about your family and about what
you
do.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So, from a big family, I've got six brothers and sisters, grew up in Richardson, Texas. I'm one of seven and, the fifth born. We got three girls and then four boys. And then I met Shauna, my wife, at TCU. And we met through the hall director residence life. I was an RA and she's a hall director. We've been married 26 years and change. We got married in May 5th in 1995. And we have five kids. Abby, who's 24, Zach, 22, Ben, 21, Gracie, 17, Sam, 15. My daughter, Abby, is married to Lane, my son-in-law. Just an unbelievably amazing man and the great, great son-in-law. They have Case, who's about 18 months old, cute little Case, McCabe Barber. And then that's kind of the family thing.
Yep.
And we live in Little Rock, and I work for The Table Group, which is a company by Patrick Lencioni. He's authored a lot of books. Probably the one that listeners will know the best is The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I've been working for him for about 8 years. So I live, eat, and breathe leaders and their teams, mainly CEOs, which is a lot of fun.
Well, and you're really good at it. So, yeah, so lead us on, Gordon.
Okay. So I think, I got to say this. So my favorite part of every episode is when Laura says, "I'm Laura, John's daughter." And then she says, "Hi, Dad." And I'm telling you, every time Laura says that, I have two daughters, and I'm like, I will kill to have my daughter ever publicly just speak with that sincerity and just love to be together. And I'm not saying my daughters don't, but I just got to say, that's just one of the coolest things. I hear it. I hear it in Laura's voice every time, and I'm thinking,
I love getting to do it with him, for sure.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh, so cool. And so I know I got a little ways to get to where you two are in your life and relationship, but if I'm there, I'm good. That's the goal.
Yeah.
The second thing I was thinking is, do you guys, you know this, like there are people in our lives, and certainly John, you're like this for me. If I'm honest, I mean, we've spent a lot of time together across 30 years, but I don't remember all the things that you say. I mean, just our brains don't always like, what did you say? But I remember how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember like an impression that you just don't forget. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I just thought, I still am so curious, like what would John say to this? I don't know the answer. I don't remember what he'd say. So I kept thinking of all these things. And I think that's like Laura's heart too. Like you guys have known each other her whole life. And she's going, "Hey, what do you think about this, Dad?" So I guess I was just thinking, I want to dig in to John's head and heart and just see what comes out and just kind of keep digging for the stuff that maybe is not easy sometimes to say, or, John, sometimes you might feel bashful or timid to just jump in and say, "Here's something." And my favorite part of any episode where you did that, where you were really pretty direct, there was this one episode where you said you were with these guys and they were talking about their careers and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, "You know what? This is just smearing Jesus on materialism." And I was like, man. And it's so funny. I listened to that when I came to visit you in Durham, and I was jogging in downtown Durham, and I did like a little fist bump because I was like, "Yeah, okay. Tell me what. I want to know about that." So anyway, all that to say, the way I thought to ask you some questions was to use this game. I'm not sure if any of the listeners or people have played this game. It's called Would You Rather. Have you ever heard this game? Have you heard it? You have.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it, John?
I have. I don't think I've ever played it, so
okay.
I'm a complete rookie at this. But
hey,
you
are about to play Would You Rather and my own version that I just came up with. So I literally yesterday I thought if I was going to test John with a Would You Rather, what would I ask you? The good news is like the first five questions are totally warm ups just to get people to know you, and then they get more intense as we go. Okay, so get ready. First, Would You Rather, coffee or tea?
Oh, absolutely coffee.
How come?
I just love it. And you know, tea's fine, but tea's kind of like either you don't have coffee or it's just one of those moments where tea would be kind of good, but I got to have my coffee.
Okay. Mountain or the beach?
Oh, mountain. We just got back from the mountains. I love the beach, but it's like I love the beach, but I'm inspired by the mountains. And the thing that it is where the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and from whence comes my help. And okay. I think that's the kind of strength I feel from the mountains.
Okay. Well, then I think I'm going to answer this question, surf or ski?
I'm assuming you're saying snow ski.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do either particularly right now, but definitely snow skiing was more of my thing. Yeah.
Okay. I'm still thinking about your challenge for me to surf like Zach was the other day. I was like, I don't think so, but okay. Now this one may sound strange, but not everybody's the same on this one. Fly or drive?
Oh, it's for me, 100% fly. For my wife, Janet, 100% drive.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm definitely fly.
Okay. Apple or Android?
I am
Adam Android. Paid him to ask you that.
Yeah, okay. I am Android, and it drives all of my family crazy because okay. I'm the only Android person that messes up all our communications.
Yeah. I personally purchased iPhones for two of my family members, which will remain unnamed, and one of them was thrilled and one of them was totally not happy with me.
Yes.
Okay. Two more easy ones, I think. Superman or Batman?
You know, I think Superman, because my understanding of superheroes isn't like the recent Marvel thing. It's like back in the 50s and 60s and like the Superman TV show.
Uh-huh.
And he was so, you know, valorous and all that. And it seems like the way that Batman is portrayed these days is either kind of comically or he's just this dark figure.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm definitely a Superman guy.
Okay. Sleeping in a place that's too hot or too cold?
Sleeping in a place that's... Gosh. I think I would say probably too hot.
Okay. All right. And Laura can answer this one too. The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich or the Wendy's chicken sandwich, which they claim ends all chicken sandwich wars.
Well, I haven't had the most recent iteration of Wendy's, but I definitely would go with Chick-fil-A.
How about you, Laura?
You know, these are my first and second favorite fast food restaurants, but I will say the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and I'll say I worked at Chick-fil-A from the time I was 14 to 20, uh-huh. and I still love Chick-fil-A. So that's really saying something after as many sandwiches as I ate on my lunch break. So
yeah, that's cool. All right. One more kind of little easy one here. Reading an amazing book or watching a great movie?
Well, I'm kind of 50-50 on this, but probably watching a great movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laura, could you guess what is one of your dad's favorite movies or one that he showed you when you were a kid?
You know what? I'm trying to think. What would be one of my dad's favorite movies?
Did he ever make you guys watch one or like, hey, okay, kids, we're watching this one tonight and...
Man,
you'll
Dad, if there
later.
Was one, I'm sorry, I'm totally blanking. Yeah, I don't know. Dad, was there?
I don't know. I think one of my all-time favorite movies is Remember the Titans.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was, Laura, I don't know if you even remember that, but it was about the ending of segregation in athletics in high school. And
mm-hmm.
it was, I could watch that movie so many times over.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. There's one criteria we try to use in our house. Is that if it's like if everyone would enjoy it, it's usually a good sign. Like if the whole family will sit down, it's a good sign to have everybody together. It's when people are watching, you know, you like this one or two people watch that one. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Sitting on a plane next to a devout Muslim or a lukewarm Christian.
sitting on the plane. That's an interesting one, because a lot of times on the plane, I just completely get introverted and just shut everyone out and just get focused.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think it would be with the devout Muslim.
Okay.
Because I think that'd be a more interesting conversation and probably a less frustrating one, and probably one where there's greater need.
Mm-hmm. Right. What frustrates you about lukewarm Christians besides the sort of the obvious? What specifically frustrates you?
Yeah, well, it's, I think the word that comes to my mind is what grieves me. And what grieves me is their life is being wasted. And knowing the riches of the grace of Jesus Christ are being wasted, is being wasted. So I think, I don't know that I get real frustrated by, you know, kind of lukewarm Christians as much as I just grieve. Like, I just think such a good young man or young woman and their life is just being wasted.
Mm-hmm. I think what frustrates me is probably myself, because I'm trying, you know, it's often we're trying to convince someone of something or explain something to someone or debate them into another position when they're not going to rationalize themselves out of lukewarmness. It's going to be something much more powerful and experiential. And it's just like, let's just not even waste our time with it. You know, I don't know. But I know a lot of devout Muslims, and I know a lot of lukewarm Muslims too, ironically. Both. So lukewarmness is everywhere. Yeah. Okay. Mentoring a new young man who loves to meet with you, or reach out to someone who you've mentored for a long time or know for a long time who said he didn't want you to mentor him anymore.
Gosh. Okay, so Gordon, I've never played this game, so let me ask you about
the rules. You could turn the question on me if you ever want to, to make it fair.
Well, so I think what would be the determinant for me is if the young man or whatever age man who had said he didn't want me to be mentored or for me to be his mentor, if I felt like he was in danger or in great need. Like, you know, if I felt like, you know, okay, he's not real, you know, thrilled about he and I being together, but he's in a bad place. I think I would be drawn to maybe one more time reach out to him, and if nothing else, just get better informed as to how I could pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I think that would be the answer. Because mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of, you know, the kind of the 99 and the sheep that went astray.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like your whole life in some ways is wrapped around the 99. And yet you're not their savior. You're not Jesus to them, but that one that's lost.
Right.
That one just goes deep in your heart.
Right. You know? Totally.
Yeah.
It makes me think about, I just literally live thought, like, it makes me think about this game, because I think when people play this game, it's obviously all hypotheticals. So you're thinking, oh, both, right? Mm-hmm. And then what we don't realize in life, though, is life is always a choice, because every hour we spend doing anything is a choice to not do 100 other things. And so it is. But we don't ever call the choice. We're like, oh yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll do that too. It's like, no, that's not how life works.
Yeah.
But you know what I would say is, there's a majority of my life, it almost feels like it's a right and wrong answer. Like, of course I'll go reach out to the person who doesn't want to. I gotta go resolve that conflict. And then I realized I was doing that a lot for my own sake. Like, I don't want this to be reconciled. I just don't want this person to be mad at me. So it's really quite selfish. And then I've shifted to go, you know what, when people want to meet with me or they appreciate something I have to offer, there's usually more of a life-giving mutual edification. And then when someone's upset, I realize, you know, when they do want to talk about it, I already know I'm ready. I already know I'm willing.
Yep.
And they will, they do have my number and they will call. Like nothing's keeping them from it. And so just be patient, trust God. And I've had to grow a lot in that area. So anyway.
And Gordon, that's so interesting to me because that what you just said is one of the things I've learned from you. And that is, sometimes our rushing in cannot be the right thing or the most helpful thing. And, you know, you and I have had several conversations around kind of emotional or relational entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of opened up that to me. So I think my answer would still be if I felt the other person was in a bad place that I would reach out to them, but I hope that I'd be a little better informed as to why and in what way and with what goal and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because that's important.
Uh-huh. Hey, I don't know if we have time to go into this one anymore, uh-huh. but I'm curious, like, I don't know what you, like, with what my dad just said about, like, because I feel like this is actually related to mentoring, a really helpful thing to understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like, what do you mean by understanding emotional entanglement and when to get involved and when to not? Can one of you guys tell me more about that?
Yeah.
Gordon,
yeah.
Just take a couple of minutes and unpack that.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, you know, there's an opportunity to either get entangled, which means I'm dependent on someone liking me, liking what I say, and that's the basis of the relationship, versus a mutual trust, a mutual values where I'm very, very clear on who I am and my purpose, and I'm there to give into, you know, to invest in a relationship. And if someone says, hey, that's just not for me, I'm going to be just fine. And vice versa. Hmm. And I think there's an opportunity on both sides, whether you're mentoring someone. I mean, let's be honest, when you're mentoring, if I'm a young man, I'm 20, 21, there are a lot of guys out there who don't have great relationships with their dad. And the easiest thing is to say, well, shoot, okay, great. You get to be my replacement dad. And then but the emotional needs there are just, whoa, that's a lot. And so you can over apply that. And then the mentor's going, oh, cool. I either get to be the hero here or something else. And so we had to be careful. A quick book reference, which maybe listeners will or will not want or care about, but I got most of that benefit from a book called A Failure of Nerve by Edwin Friedman. It is a tough book to get through because it's so heady and sort of psychological, but it's a really great book on leadership called A Failure of Nerve.
Wow. Interesting. Thanks, Gordon.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Two more, John. Here we go. They're getting a little more intense, but then you get to fire one back at me if you want. You get to push at least one question back to me. I should have told you that at the beginning of the game.
Okay.
Just kidding. Okay, getting embarrassed by people complimenting you in public or rebuking someone for something when you're super scared to confront them.
And this is which I would prefer.
Yeah, getting embarrassed by people complimenting you in public or having to go rebuke someone when you're scared to confront them.
Okay, I'm going to push that one back to you. And then maybe I'm going to have a response after you do. So you do that one.
Man, they are both awful. I definitely don't like to be the center of attention, and I don't often receive praise well, and that's to my own fault. And then even though people probably do see me as more controversial or willing to confront, it definitely takes a lot out of me. But I do feel like, to be honest with you, I probably have more practice in pushing into a hard conversation. That may not be a compliment to myself. It may mean I need to do more of the other and receive. But I would probably go and say, hey, I'm going to give someone a call and start a hard conversation.
Yeah. And boy, I've seen that in you so, so much. I think that, you know, which I would rather, I mean, honestly, I think I would rather dealing with the being embarrassed by being praised in public. And And I think the reason I would say that is because I feel like the Lord has helped me to develop some kind of some mindsets and some places of my heart and response to know how to deal with that and how to, I think that, you know, engaging with someone that I need to correct or rebuke, you know, I think the only thing that would ever cause me to rather do that is if I really was just deeply convinced I cannot love this person if I don't do this. And so because I want to love them, then that would push me to prefer that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is even though it's not easy for me to praise you in public or private or give you encouragement, I think being in a mentoring relationship with you, I just take for granted that you're human and that you need encouragement. And I remember so many conversations with you where you'll say, "What's going on, Gordon?" And then I'm dumping all this stuff on you. And then you'll go, "Oh yeah, like in terms of me, you can pray for me." I'm like, "Oh shoot, I didn't ask." Right? Because you're not human. You're a superhuman. You're a superhero. You don't need anything. And I think I've really wrestled. I'm not sure if other people have struggled with this in mentoring relationships, especially long-term ones. Just understanding, I want to be your friend, but I also have to acknowledge over the years, you're not my peer. You are my mentor. You're my father in the faith. You're dear to me. It's a special relationship, so maybe it's neither category perfectly. Yeah. But just accepting the fact that I have needed you more than you've needed me, but you are human, and it doesn't mean you don't need me to encourage you, pray for you, not take you for granted at the very least, and just, you know, treat you like a human being. Yeah. So anyway, all right, that's all I got. We're at 26:34, so I don't like to go past any time. And you know, listeners out there, like the next generation, have like slow attention, right? They're not able to listen to things. No offense, Laura. And to the next generation, all you 5-year-olds out there, sorry to frustrate you by going past your attention. But we can always cover it on another podcast. So listen to the next podcast, and we'll ask for more questions.
That'll be good.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Gordon. That was really fun, and the questions were very thought-provoking. I feel like I have some things to digest. So, Dad, do you want to wrap us up?
Well, I'm still intrigued by my first endeavor into would you rather. I just am so grateful to the Lord for, you know, the choices that He gives us in life, where a lot of times we do get to choose what we would rather do. And I think that as we're thinking about the next generation of leaders in our country and other countries, you know, we want them to be men and women of sound judgment who are able to make good judgment calls in terms of would they rather or what should they or ought they do. And so if that's, you know, if with our listeners, if that's in your hearts, we encourage you to come to our website, Leadership Edge Incorporated. It's www.lead-edge.com. And just look at the resources we have there, almost all of them for free, in terms of prayerfully investing in the next generation of leaders. We also have information there about upcoming mentor training programs that you can be a part of, and we encourage you to check that resource out. And again, almost everything on there is free, so it won't cost you anything. But we're about what we call the life vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. So I hope today's encouraged you in these lines of stepping forward and thinking through, you know, would you rather and what has been the course of God in your life. And we're so glad that you've been here with us today.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, Gordon, for leading the episode today. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun. And listeners, thanks so much for joining us as well.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.